This is Brother Matter, and I greet you in the name of Jesus. For every one's doing well, glad to have you with us today. For about 2 weeks now, the Lord has been stirring my spirit for the Church of the Living God to stand up and dare to believe that He's God. And it's time for you and I, as individuals and as the body of Christ, to step forward in the ministries and the callings that God has placed in our life and begin to exercise faith and dare to believe that God is the God of the Bible. There's just such a stirring and a moving in my soul, and for, I guess, ever since last Wednesday, somewhere in that area, that we had such a great Bible study and such a working and moving of the Holy Ghost, and then at the late Wednesday night, probably around 10:30, 11 o'clock, my son got in prayer, and he texts me, or his wife texts me, and the Spirit of the Lord had fell on him, and he had prophesied and then recorded it and sent it to me to encourage the ministry that God has set down in my soul for leadership and direction of God's people. So there's just something moving in the Holy Ghost. I don't know if I can explain it to you, but I felt it for several days now, like that faith, that creative, divine, I call it dare to believe God faith. I call it believing and stepping out on nothing but faith and believing God to be God. And that's what I feel working in my spirit. I don't know. I can't explain it. I just know it's rolling and raring, and it's like I feel that creative miracle wanting to just step out and speak that power of healing, that power of deliverance, that power that'll heal a cancer, open a blind eye, unstop a deaf ear, grow a short leg, all these things that God has put in my spirit over the years and dropped that positive faith for in my heart. I feel it working in my spirit. Now ready to spring forth. There's a springing forth and a breaking forth of the Spirit of God. And I want to read a portion of Scripture found in Mark the 9th chapter. And I spent several hours Friday night just praying and studying and reaching. And I said, God, I can't get the, I can't get how to start this. I can't get how to get a focus on this, or what to say, or how to move forward in it. And this morning, as I was in prayer and reaching out to the Lord, I heard the voice of the Lord speak down deep in my spirit, if thou canst believe. So that's what I want to talk to you about today. If thou canst believe. And I'm going to Mark the 9th chapter, and I'm going to the 23rd verse. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. When Jesus saw the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thy dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but prayer and fasting. Now I want to go over to Mark the 11th chapter, and I want to read a few verses of Scripture there, starting at verse 12. And on the morrow when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. Seeing the fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. Jesus answered and said, unto it no man eat fruit of thee hereafter, forever. And his disciples heard it. They come to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast them out that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. And he would not suffer any man to carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations, the house of prayer? But ye have made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and chief priests heard it and sought him, how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people were astonished at his doctrine. When the even was come, he went out of the city in the morning as they passed by. They saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. And Jesus answered and saith unto him, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. For if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive you your trespasses. Now I want you to go to prayer with me. Father, I thank you for this word. God, I feel the working of your Spirit. I feel your mighty hand on me, and all I'm asking you for is the utterance, the wisdom and understanding to declare this word to your people. God, let it be that as I expound this word, Lord, the working of your Spirit will take hold of people's hearts, and it will cause them to rise up, step forward, and dare to believe you, that you are with them and you are in them. I give you praise and honor and glory by your righteous holy name, Jesus. Give me the utterance, Lord, and give me the ear of your people in Jesus' name. Amen. Now that's what I told you I want to talk to you on, if I can't believe. And I'm not just talking about believing for miracles or a healing. I'm talking about it's time to believe that God is with us. And no matter what the need, no matter what the situation, no matter what the circumstance, we need to believe that the Christ has taken his abode in here, and no matter what you ask. You know, we can all quote these scriptures I've just read, and people quote, well, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. But don't tell me by quoting that scripture you have the faith to put it into action. Don't tell me by quoting the scripture about the fig tree being cursed at the root, and that Jesus said, if any man say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou set in yonder place, don't tell me by quoting that scripture that you have the faith for that to come to pass in your life. This is what I'm talking about. I don't know what's happened to God's people, but we backed ourselves into a religious corner. We backed ourselves into a place that it doesn't matter what we preach or what we say. When we go to the house of God to worship him, we've gotten ourselves boxed into a form, boxed into a religious tradition, because we're not expecting God to be God. Let me tell you something, singing and praying and shouting and feeling a little moving of the Holy Ghost run across you, and you can raise your hands and weep and cry and shout and say, my God, I feel the Holy Ghost, and we're having church. There's nothing bringing you forward into a relationship with God that the Christ that living in you can manifest himself in deliverance to this generation. You know, the Lord spoke to us back on March the 22nd and told us to go into 30 days of intense prayer. That's when he told me that this coronavirus was from him, that there wasn't needing us gathering together to pray and seek the face of God to move it. He said, I put it here and it's not going anywhere until I move it. But then later on, the Lord told me, he said,
And this is what he spoke to him. He said, in an instant, I snapped my fingers like that. And I said, just like that, something's going to happen that people going to forget this coronavirus ever happened. And that's about where we are right now. It's just like that. All this hatred and division and all this come up in the earth to get people divided, to get them pulling back on what God's doing, to tear our nation up. And the Lord, when this started happening, the Lord spoke to me and said, it's time for the church to pray like the church came together in prayer in Acts 12, and I believe it's verse 5. He said, when Peter was locked up in prison or shut up in prison, the church began to pray without ceasing for him, and they prayed until the angel of the Lord stepped in and God delivered. But the church has lost her spirit of prayer. She's lost her hunger to pray. She's lost her faith to believe that God is God, and it's time to turn things around. Our nation is in trouble. The world is in trouble, and the devil has come in like a flood trying to destroy everything that God has done in during this time of this coronavirus. And this spirit just come up out of nowhere. This spirit hadn't been in our nation in several years now, and now all of a sudden it's just come up. And even if these riots stop and things go back to where we have peace in our cities, this spirit of division and hatred has got to be prayed out. It's got to be prayed out of our nation, because you cannot have a move of God and you can't have unity and love and peace and joy that comes through the Holy Ghost with this kind of spirit in our land. And it's time to pray and seek the face of God. But it's also time to pray and dare to believe. It's time to dare to believe God. It's time to seek the face of God and reach out to the Lord. And you know, I was listening to a prophecy today that came during our April meeting in Fort Payne. It came on April the 23rd. 2020, the Lord had spoke to us on March the 22nd, told us 30 days of intense prayer, fervent prayer. And then on April the 23rd, which was one day after that time of 30 days of intense prayer, came to an end. The Lord started speaking to us how that he had driven Jesus into the wilderness and he had brought him out in the power of the Spirit. He started telling us that he sent him in there with purpose. He sent him in there with focus. He sent him in there for a reason. And he said, I've done the same thing for my people. He said, I brought you into the wilderness and I can bring you out in the power of the Spirit. Well, the power of the Spirit, Jesus came out and was not just faith. It was not just miracles of healing. But the Lord showed me that when Jesus went into that wilderness, he was a man. He had never done a miracle, never preached a sermon, never cast out one demon, never had done anything like that he was called into ministry for. But when he was baptized and he was filled with the Holy Ghost, the Lord spoke out of heaven and said, thou art my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Well, what was he pleased with? His dedication, his submission, his consecration to the Father, waiting on the ministry that he was called and ordained and sent forth to possess, waiting for it was the time to bring it forth. And I feel the time of the manifestation of the Son of Man to come forth in the earth. I feel this time of this deliverance that Jesus came forth in, and I know that it's time for somebody or a lot of somebodies to step forward and say, Lord, here I am. I'm going to dare to believe you. I believe your word. I'm taking at your word, and I'm stepping out daring to believe, just like Jesus did when he turned that water to wine. I'm daring to believe. I'm daring to believe. And the Lord, you know, the Lord spoke to us about these kind of things in a prophecy on April the 23rd, and he told us to believe him. That's what he kept telling us, believe me, believe me. He said, you've got to believe in the God of your visitation. When Jesus was in that wilderness and the Lord visiting, nobody was out there but Jesus. And when he walked back into the streets of Galilee or Jerusalem or wherever he came, the Bible says in Luke 4:14, that he returned into Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read as his custom was. And that's where he began to quote Isaiah in Luke 4 and 18 when he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me. And he went on and ministered, and they could tell the power of God was upon him, but he made him mad. But anyway, it wasn't very long after that till he went down to Cana, and he was at a wedding. His mother was there. His disciples was there with him, and she came to him and said, son, they don't have any wine. And Jesus just looked at her and said, woman, he said, I ain't got nothing to do with you. He said, you just don't worry about me. Don't bother me. My hour's not yet come. She just turned and went to the servants and said, whatever he tells you to do, just do it. Because she knew his hour would come. He knew his hour would come, had come. But he knew that once he stepped out and done that first creative miracle and word got out, that his life would never be the same, that people would be pressing on him from all quarters to be healed, to be delivered, to be set free. So there was, I think the Bible says, 6 water pots sitting there of 3 or 4 firkins apiece. I can't remember exactly how it reads, but I did look it up one time, and that was 276 gallons in those water pots. And Jesus just told him, he said, go fill them up with water. That's all he told him. He said, just go fill them up with water. Let me turn over there so we can read that. And the servants went and filled them up with water. I know it's John, the 2nd chapter. I don't have it marked. Let me get there. And we'll read it. The 2nd chapter of John, 1st verse. And the 3rd day there was a marriage at Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was called, and both Jesus was called with his disciples and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Well, like I said, these 6 water pots, I looked it up. That was 276 gallons, but that's been years back. And Jesus said to them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them to the brim, and he said unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it. And when they tasted the wine, they didn't know. They didn't know where it come from. But anyway, that's not my point. The point was what the Lord spoke to me back at the first of the year, or on December the 23rd, when he explained the difference to reveal and manifest to me. On December the 3rd, 2019, he said that you have been preaching about the revealing of the Son of Man, and about the revealing of my word, and the revealing of my spirit. And he said the word reveal means to give knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. He said, but the word manifest, I was using the word reveal and the word manifest in the same context. But he said manifest is action. Manifest is a showing forth of something, where reveal is something like wisdom, knowledge, and understanding opened up inside of you. And he said, my people have been in a time of revealing, but now they're coming to the time of manifestation. Well, I believe we have come to that time of manifestation, that the power of the Spirit is now ready to come forth in us and go forth with us, and for us to walk in that same power of the Spirit that Jesus walked in when he come out of that wilderness. And the Lord showed me that when he come out of that wilderness, he returned in the power of the Spirit, according to Luke 4:14. But what the Lord showed me was that Jesus walked in the same power as Adam had when he was created. In other words, the Lord gave Jesus the same power over creation, over animals, over the elements, over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air. He gave him power over everything that had been created on the face of the earth, and that's how Jesus could turn the water to wine. He didn't have to run off and fast and pray 3 days or a week. Every time something happens, y'all want to run off and spend 3 days or a week or a month or fasting and praying and trying to find the mind of God. Jesus has spent from the age of 12 to the age of 30, the Spirit of God being revealed in him, growing in wisdom, knowledge, strength, understanding, having knowledge and understanding of the Spirit of God coming forth. And then when he come out of that wilderness after those 40 days of fasting, God put it in action. So what is inside of you that God has been revealing is now ready to go into manifestation. It's now ready to be put into action in your life, in the ministry that Jesus had when he walked this earth, that I refer to as the ministry of the Son of Man, that it is now time to step forth in that power and authority and dominion of Jesus as he walked this earth and begin to do what needs to be done, and dare to believe God to be God in you, to you, and through you. It's time. It's time. I feel this thing working in my spirit. I feel it moving down in the very depths of my soul, and I know that it's time for God's people. I don't know what it is. It's like we can talk about Jesus. We can preach about him. We can sing about him. We can even let God use us in prophecy, and we can get prophesied to that God's going to use us. We're going to do great things. We're going to have miracles. But yet when it comes time to step out and possess it, we don't want to step out and possess it. We don't want to step out and possess what God wants to reveal and then manifest in us. It's all right if God talks to us about wisdom and knowledge and understanding, but when he talks to us about action, there's something in us that wants to back up on the Lord. This ain't no time to back up, children. I'm telling you, if we don't put this in action and step into this, I'm afraid we're fixing to lose what the Lord wants us to have and bringing forth this ministry of the Son of Man. The earth has got to have a deliverance. It's got to have a move. We've been preaching about it, singing about it, prophesying about it. We might have a healing here and there, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a Book of Acts church, a Book of Acts move of the Holy Ghost. And God has already told us he's restored the years, but nobody wants to seem to step forward and say, all right, God, I believe. Now, manifest this in me. Manifest this in my life. Put this in my spirit. I know you revealed something in me. Now bring forth a manifestation. I mean, when Paul went down that road to Damascus and the Lord knocked him off of that donkey, he put something in him. He put something in him, children. He put something in him. And then Paul went into the Arabian desert and sought the Lord for 3 to 3.5 years. Until he come back preaching, and he came back with a revealing of the Word of God in him. He came back in 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter, and this is what he said. And I, brethren, when I came unto you, not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. The testimony is the witness. The testimony is a demonstration. It shows something. It verifies something. And Paul was highly educated. He said, but when I came, I didn't come to you with excellency of speech. I think Paul spoke several languages. But I didn't come to you with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much preaching and much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. You look the word demonstration up, it means actions, it means showing something, it means what it says to demonstrate. Paul said, I came to you in demonstration. I didn't come to you with fancy words. I didn't come to you with education and just speaking great things and telling you all about God in fancy words. He said, I came and demonstrated the power of God. I came in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith might not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. People can preach some of the greatest sermons today. They got the education. They got the word. They can speak eloquently. They can, but that's not what I'm looking for. And that's not what God's looking for. He's looking for somebody to step up to the lame man sitting at the gate of the temple, stretch their hand out and say, look on us. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk. You know, everything went along good for about a year or so after Jesus resurrected and ascended. There wasn't a lot of persecution, but when they stepped out there that day, and Peter and John go into that temple, and they knew something was going to happen, and that lame man sitting there, how many days and years had that lame man sat there? How many times had Jesus passed him going into the temple, and he was reaching that hand out saying, alms, alms, have mercy on me. I'm crippled. I've been crippled from my mother's womb. I need help. How many times did Jesus walk by him? How many times had the disciples walked by him? But then that morning, as Peter and John went to the temple, being the ninth hour, which is the hour of prayer, something moved in them, and they heard him say alms. And when they stopped, they fastened their eyes on him, and they said, look on us. They knew something was fixing to happen by the unction of the Holy Ghost. But see, they were ready. They were ready. They were ready. They had been a revealing. They had been baptized in the Holy Ghost. And then there it was now a manifestation fixing to come forth. Until they started doing miracles, there was no persecution. Until they stepped out there and God started manifesting himself through him, there was no persecution. But once he manifested himself through him, it brought persecution. It brought upheaval. It brought a turmoil in Jerusalem. And this is what's fixing to happen. But I know just as well as I know what my name is, that it is time for the manifestation of the Spirit of God to come forth in us that are called to this. And all I'm asking you is, if thou canst believe, if thou canst believe, what is it that we can preach about Jesus? We can sing about his miracles. We can prophesy about him. We can tell everybody that there's power in the blood. There's power in the name to do it. But we can't believe for that manifestation to be revealed and manifest and come forth in us. We can't take hold of it. We can't take hold of it. We come to church, we're not believing for it. We're not believing for it in the preaching of the word. We're not believing for anything to happen in the singing, in the praise, the worship. We're not believing for anything to happen in the preaching of the word. I think about all we can do is go to church just to have what we call a feel-good service and not expect God to do anything. I can't go that route. I've got to have the reality of God in my life. I've got to have the reality of God. I feel like God's held me in check for 5 years now. He hasn't let me go very many places, but I feel like all this time there's been a revealing. There's been a manifestation. You know, we've not had, of course, we've not preached a lot, but I remember preaching in a home prayer meeting in Calhoun a couple of years ago, and a lady come in with a rotator cuff torn, and she was fixing to have surgery. Never been in a service with me before, to my knowledge. And right there in that lady's living room, I laid hands on her, cursed that thing, asked God to heal it. And she stood there shouting and weeping and crying and praising God and rotating that thing around in a circle. No pain. She went back and had it x-rayed. It was fine. And as far as I know, it's still fine. I don't know. I hadn't seen her in over 2 years now. But I know what God done that night. I know what God has done when I go to the mission field. The blind eyes and the deaf ears and the dumb tongues. And I remember in 2006, I was just in India in a little church one night. And a little bitty woman come up. And she had her head covered with a scarf. And I was ministering to the sick, and I asked the interpreter, said, what she needs? Said, she's deaf, she can't hear. I said, both ears are one. He said, no, just one. and they pulled the scarf back, and all she had was a hole in the side of her head. She didn't have an earlobe. She didn't have an outer ear. She didn't have nothing in there. I don't even know if she had the inner functions in and of an ear. And man, the Spirit of God hit me, and before I knew what I was doing, I slapped my hands on the side of that woman's head, commanded a creative miracle to happen and God to move and work a divine miracle. And then I took a handkerchief and turned her around where she couldn't see my mouth move, and I put that handkerchief over that good ear, and I leaned down and whispered in that hole in the side of her head, and she started repeating everything that interpreter was asking her. God made her whole. I said, God made her whole in just a heartbeat like that. I've had these miracles. I've had blind eyes, deaf ears, dumb tongues. I've preached this word in India. I preached it in the Philippines. I preached it in Central and South America, across Canada, all across the United States, and everywhere I've declared the name of Jesus, he has showed up, showed out, and revealed himself and made himself known. And I believe the best is yet to come, but somebody has got to dare to believe God. Somebody's got to say, Lord, I believe. Here am I, send me. Lord, I'm going to take you at your word. Lord, I know what my calling is. I know what you put in my life. I know the gifts you told me you're revealing in me. And now I'm ready to see them manifest. I believe it's time. Listen to me. I believe it's time to do this. And I know we're just teetering on an act of God. This thing is in my spirit. It's in my soul. I can't sleep. I can't rest. This thing is just like it's just rolling in me, ready to explode. And there's no way to explain. And I know there's a revealing of the Christ. There's a manifestation of the ministry that Jesus had when he walked this earth, which I call the ministry of the Son of Man. It's there. It's ready to explode in a manifestation. And I'm encouraging you today, let God become real in your life. Take the limits off of him. Take the limits off of him. Don't doubt him. Dare to believe him. And just know that it's time for a manifestation to come forth in God's people. And I thank God for what he's doing. I thank him for how he's talking to us. And I challenge you. I challenge you today to take hold of God's word and the working of his spirit, and let his name Jesus be magnified in your life. If he's called you and he's sending you forward, you're feeling that unction of the Holy Ghost, act on it is all I can tell you, because that's what I'm doing. I am acting on what God has put in my life. I'm still waiting for that leadership of the Holy Ghost and for God to order my steps, but I'm expecting divine, creative miracles to begin happening just any time. I don't know where God's going to send us. All I know is God is preparing us to go to Africa. There's done been one sister had a vision of taking the lame by the hand over there and commanding them in the name of Jesus to rise up and walk. My wife has seen it in the spirit of God doing divine creative miracles over there. I saw that vision on Thanksgiving morning when I was preaching live stream to the people in Africa, how I saw great light coming down from heaven into the darkness of idolatry and witchcraft and sin that has bound that nation for hundreds of years. The Lord spoke to me at 2:30 in the morning and said, Africa's been known for hundreds of years as the dark continent, but it should be now be known as the continent of light, for great light has sprung up. And we even had some t-shirts made to help fund the trip to Africa. It's got a picture of the continent of Africa on it. And there's light coming down from heaven and the people hands reaching up. And I would greatly appreciate some of y'all contacting us and getting an order in for one of these t-shirts to help us go to Africa. But what I'd like for you to do, if you will, you can look across the bottom of our screen, and you'll see a ticker rolling. It tells you about our podcasts, which are just audio. We have them on 3 days a week, I think Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. They're on Google Play. They're on Spotify. They're on iTunes. or you can go to our website, worldrevivals.org, and there you can go to our YouTube channel, watch videos of the services. I have videos on 3 mornings a week, just 6 or 7 minutes long. You can do that. They're on our Facebook page. They're on our YouTube page. There's our email address. There's our mailing address. There's a way to help us get this gospel out, and I'm going to ask every one of you, look right down the right-hand, bottom right-hand corner of your screen. There's what looks like a QR code, and it's got a dollar sign in the middle of it. That's a cash out. If you go to that with your phone, your smartphone, and scan that, it will take you to a cash out that you can donate right now to this ministry. Say, Brother Miller, I want to help. I want to help you win souls. I know your life. I know your dedication. I know what God's put in you. I'm not going to have parties. I'm not going to have feast. I'm not going to, y'all do what you want to when you're over there. I'm going to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I'm going to be reaching for miracles, signs, wonders, deliverance. I'm going to be reaching for souls to be saved, because I want to, the pastors over are already talking to me about baptizing. I said, get ready, man. We're going to baptize them. We're going to baptize them, I hope, by the hundreds and thousands in water, and believe God to pour out the Holy Ghost. I believe once we get there, and there's 4 of us going, I'm going. Brother Michael Harris, our pastor from Fort Payne, is going. His wife, Sister Patty Harris, is going, and my wife is going. That's 4 of us that are gifted, anointed with healing, deliverance, and miracles, and God using us in the gift of prophecy and other gifts of the Spirit. We're going to see souls saved and help these people, help these pastors get churches established, help get people in these churches and build these churches up and set them on the right foundation for the name of Jesus and bring them forward in this kingdom of God gospel. So I'm asking you to help us. If all of you right now that are subscribers to our YouTube, if you'll just scan that right there, send us $10, $15, $20. It's not the big offerings. We're grateful for the big offerings. And if you can do 100 or 500 or 1,000, by all means, please do it. But it's those of you that are several hundred or a few thousand that send us that $10 and $15 a month. You're the ones that really help us keep us going, because some people will give 500, they'll give 1,000 once a year or something. That's good. It's always gratefully appreciated. Anything you want to give is appreciated, but we need those of you that'll support us every month with the 10, the 20, the 50, whatever you can do. Hold up our hands, and you can go to our website, and there is a place there you can read about the Gideon's 300. The Lord told me in 96 that He was going to give me, there would come a day He would give me 300 people that would help me with $100 a month, and I then named them Gideon's 300. I tried to get it going back in 96. Nothing would take traction. Then the Lord spoke to me about 6 months or so ago, maybe longer, and said, now. He said, I told you there would come a day. This is the day. And people started signing up for it. They started getting in on it. And every one of you that can do this, it would be good if you would do this. I thank you for listening. I'm praying for you. Please pray for us that God will lead us, guide us, direct us, and ordain our steps as we get ready to go to Africa. Everybody keeps saying, well, Brother Metter, can you go? We're believing God by October that all this coronavirus is going to be in the past, that all these countries are going to be open back up, that the airlines will be flying again into these countries. And one good thing about it, I heard one of the airlines say the other day that they're going to keep their flights at 60% capacity in their coach, and they're going to kind of open the seats up, and that'll be fine with me. I've been on many an airline and flew coach over to India and the Philippines and down to South America, and having to sit in those little seats 14, 15, 16 hours and 8 and 10 hours and then get off and catch another flight and do it all over again. It's hard physically. It'd be all right with me if some of you out there, the Lord spoke to you, said, Brother Metter, I'm going to send you business class. So that'll be fine too. But if you send me, please send everybody, because I don't want to. I'm not gonna fly business class, and the people going with me fly coach. But if God moves on you to do that, do it. There's some of you out there got the money. You can help. I love you. I appreciate you. I'm praying for you. Please pray for us. Write us, email us, send us your prayer requests, send us your offerings, your help, whatever you send. Send it in the name of World Revivals Incorporated. We are a nonprofit, federally recognized charity, and we have been since 1984. This is not a fly-by-night ministry. For 36 years, we've done what is good and right in the eyes of the Lord, and we're registered as a charity. We have good standing. So do what you can to help us. The Lord told me to name this World Revivals for a reason. He said he's going to send me around the world, and God has made good on that. And I'm looking forward to doing more. I'm looking forward for the greatest is yet to come. Get ready, rise up, get prepared to step up and let the Holy Ghost use you. I love you, and I'm praying for you. And may God bless you. And I pray this word inspires your soul. In Jesus' name.